Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. I want to present to you four lessons entitled Standing in the Old Paths, but they will be separated into four sections, and really they should be considered as one major overriding theme, one lesson building upon another. They must be taken as a unit in order to hear the entire plea. I also want to stress the need for this theme and the reasons why we must stand in the old paths. And we want to consider what we are to stand for and how we are to stand for it. We hear and we read many statements today, both in and out of the church, that make such a study as this imperative. The attitude and actions being manifested by many toward the way of God is threatening and challenging. Some contend, don't moralize on adultery and drunkenness and dishonesty and similar things. Well, friend, we fail to understand this inasmuch as these things have to do with morality, do they not? Oh, some say the question of sex is not if, but with whom and why. And many youths are being told this by their instructors and by their peers. Others will say, nothing is spared from change. It is inescapable, therefore, that the church must also change. It's got to be in a process of change, as radical and demanding as anything else of the so-called secular world. Well, this kind of advice comes from some, even religious leaders. They tell us that organized religion cannot escape change. We are also advised that it is right only to obey those laws you consider just, and that even physical violence may be morally justifiable to produce some kinds of change if you think it's desirable socially, and those kind of reforms have to be done through violence. You see, there are those who present the gospel as irrelevant to our time. They say, the church must listen to the world so that we can find out what language the world is using today, which simply means, they say, so we can communicate a relevant message. We are informed that Paul did not live in the 20th century. He never spoke face to face with nuclear scientists or the residents of Harlem. What language would he use if he tried to communicate with modern scientists, we're asked? What would he quote if he addressed an audience in Harlem, we're asked? Well, the idea being pressed is quite obvious. Biblical language, to some, is simply inadequate to teach the world the gospel of Christ. We have got to get with it and convey spiritual things of God in a hip term. It is a slap at preaching that relies upon thus saith the Lord to communicate God's word. You can't do it that way anymore, we're told. It simply reflects, friend, a contempt for the articles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. And sometimes we even find some who call themselves our brethren. They're writing without shame, extolling the virtues of the liberal thought, form criticism, existentialism, theistic evolution, even a religionist Christianity. Youth are heard to say, aping their mentors, denominational preachers speak to me better than Church of Christ preachers, as they refer to gospel preachers mistakenly. They proclaim such doctrines as partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, that's just our doctrine, that's not of God. That instrumental music and worship is just a matter of opinion. Some say the anti-instrument stand is just a separatist shibboleth. There are books coming off of the presses denouncing what some call Southern theology, because churches in the southern regions of the United States that have stood firm in the faith contend for that faith. It is a slash of snobbish ridicule by those who would run roughshod over the truth, trying to make truth appear to be a sectional commodity. Church of Christism, they call it. That's the definition given to what we preach and teach by those who are set to restructure the church more akin to denominationalism. Preach Christ and not the church, some would advise. Well, on and on it goes. Similar expressions that reflect a certain and definite departure from that which has characterized faithful gospel preaching for decades and centuries. But are these cries of the liberal innovators and the Reconstructionists really new? Have their words not been heard before? We contend that those who scoff at the old paths today are just Johnny-come-latelys, who are parroting worn-out cliches that were proven false before they were born. But they are but a part of the satanic revival to discredit truth and plunge the church once again into spiritual digression and apostasy. For instance, some say, it is the common conclusion among the more liberal and progressive brethren that the above-minded class, and this is referring to the early efforts of restoration, that the above-minded class have for years past been exhibiting a stubborn and perverse stupidity in reference to the progress of the age. They will say, long since they became a real pest upon the body ecclesiastic, by standing directly in the way of those grand conceptions being realized which the more literary, the refined, and charitable brethren have presented from time to time for adoption of the Christian brotherhood. Now, have you ever heard such snobbish talk in all of your life? Those who try to stand for the truth, why, they're not refined, they're not literary, they're not charitable. That's the contention that some are making today. Again, some say, it is really provoking to think that so many propositions for the adoption of means and practices intending to popularize our religious movement and break down these distinctions between us and other denominations which have to some degree united them in opposition to us should be so stupidly and perversely opposed. Well, now, these words are the kind of words you expect to hear from those who have digressed from the truth. They're being heard in our own time. But, friend, those words were heard before. They were heard over 125 years ago. You can read about these things in the book called Search for the Ancient Order, Volume 2, page 136. These were the kind of words that people were saying when the church was going off in digression once before. So the clamor to make truth palatable to denominations who hold error, it's not a new idea. The ridicule, the denunciation, the mockery, the criticism of the old paths, which rang loud and clear once before in the brotherhood, once committed to the old paths, why, it's being heard again today. The words, the attitudes, the actions of those malcontent with Scripture, they're wounded over what they call the Restoration Movement, and they have fought against the Restoration Movement, and some today now seek to destroy the Restoration Movement, the efforts to restore the New Testament church, the church that's revealed in the New Testament that Jesus Christ established. That which brought liberal and digressive and modernistic bodies into existence a century or so ago will produce the same disaster among us today. But we contend the same truth of the New Testament, the old paths, will produce children of God, Christians, the Church of Christ in our own time, just like it did in the days recorded in the New Testament. Now, while some say it's useless to attempt to restore primitive Christianity, and some would even not desire that it be done, those who have greater respect for Scripture will subscribe to sentiments such as were expressed 125 or so years ago by a man named Robert Graham. There is among ourselves a falling off from the simplicity of the gospel, a conforming to the mode of what some call the other denominations, the loss of zeal for the spread of the gospel for fear people will think us solicitous only to build up a party, the decrease of Bible reading and study among us of late, the growing disposition to recognize the distinction of clergy and laity in our churches, and among much more that might be named, our conforming to the unscriptural phraseology of the sects, to say nothing of our adopting many of their anti-scriptural customs. With the uniform experience of past ages before us, and the tendency of men to make the gospel popular under the plea of extending its influence, and that, too, even at the cost of its purity and power to save, should make us keen to detect and fearless in our condemnation of all departures from the faith. Well, friend, that was in opposition to the digression that was sweeping the church some 100, 125 years ago. That was really a plea to stand in the old paths of the revealed gospel truth. Now, as in the days of the Old Testament prophets who called men back to God, and as in the days of men this side of the cross who urged the return to Scripture and the old paths, the plea for true New Testament Christianity as revealed in the Bible, it has been met with ridicule and indifference, such snobbery and sophistication, with truth rejected in favor of intellectualism and the doctrines of human wisdom. And yet, the need for man and the benefits for man still abide for the faith once delivered. That faith consists of the old paths to which we tenaciously hold and without hesitation proclaim to friend and to foe alike. This first lesson is really just an introduction to a series of thoughts standing in the old paths so that we can uphold Christianity as is revealed in the New Testament. The second part of our lesson will dwell upon a man named Isaac of the Old Testament, who showed great wisdom in digging wells once dug by those who went before him. A third part in this series of lessons will be the attitudes we should have toward those in the past who have attempted to restore New Testament Christianity in years gone by. And the fourth part of our lesson will mention some of the major areas, certainly not all, that compose the old paths to which we must steadfastly turn and preach with fervor without compromise or alteration. May God add His blessings to these investigations, because we are certain that the faith once delivered, the old paths of New Testament Christianity, must be preached, must be believed, must be obeyed, if man is to be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.